Bibles today. I'm going to ask you, which I hope you do, you need to bring God's Word. It is the truth that that we have to follow. So if you have your Bibles, take them out and turn to the book of Luke. We have been in the book of Luke and are continuing there this morning. Luke chapter 22 is where we're going to begin today. And we've been looking at Jesus Christ as he, you know, he did a lot of journeying in the time that he spent here on this earth, from town to town, from region to region, area to area. But in the last few weeks, we've been looking at Christ as he was in general heading towards Jerusalem. He was heading towards what he knew would be the end of his physical life here on this earth. Luke chapter 22, and if you've found that, I'm going to ask you if you're able, if you would stand as we read God's word this morning. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 39. And this is what God's word shares. And he came out and went, as he was accustomed, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down, and he prayed, saying, "Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared an angel to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Let's bow our heads as we pray together this morning. Lord God, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, this day is a gift from you. Remind us of that fact, Lord, that we're not guaranteed any day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. But each day that you give us is a gift, time that you allow us to spend here on this earth. And Lord, for these next moments that you've given us, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be focused on you and would be focused on your word. Lord, your word is intended to speak to us and to speak to our hearts. But we have to have ears that are open and minds that are ready to understand what you're sharing with us. So, Lord, I pray that we would be focused on you. And I know, Lord, that we always have so many things going on in our lives, schedules to keep, things to do, places to go. But, Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you'd help us to set all those things aside and simply to listen to your word and to listen for your voice. Lord, if there are areas in our lives that need to change, just help us to turn those areas over to you so that you can mold us and make us into the people that you want us to be. Lord, we pray that your word accomplishes today what you intend. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So again, as we've looked at Jesus Christ, as he's journeying towards Jerusalem, we've looked at some of the things that Jesus Christ faced in that journey. And it shouldn't surprise us that as Jesus Christ faced these things, these are the same things that you and I often face in our lives. The first week we looked at Jesus as he was facing distress. It says that Jesus was distressed. We don't often think of Jesus as being distressed. He was the Son of God. But it says he was distressed, and you and I at times can get distressed in our lives, can't we? And it can be over a wide range of things. What you may be distressed about this week may be completely different than what I'm distressed about. But the reality is all of us at different times face distress in our life. And Christ, as he was in the midst of distress, what did he focus on? That distress? That problem in his life? What did he focus on? Others. A lesson for you and I. That as we're in our distress, we can get so embroiled in that. We can get so surrounded by that we can't see anything else. That is not what God wants. He wants us to follow Christ, our example, and even in our distress, if we focus on others and being a blessing to others and doing what God wants us to do, that will help us in the midst of our distress. We looked at Jesus as he faced duty, the duty that his Father had given him, and that was his desire, to do his Father's will. Has God given you a purpose in life? Is that your duty as a believer and as a Christian? Yes. And then last week, we looked at Jesus as he was facing danger. in his physical form here on this earth. This morning, as we look at these verses, and they're powerful verses, aren't they? As we look at Jesus Christ in the garden. And really, as we look at these verses, we know that Christ was praying. He was talking to his Father. What was Christ facing here? He was death. Christ was facing death, and not just any death. He was facing his own death, wasn't he? Facing the fact that he knew that he was going to die. And not a peaceful death. I mean, for you and I, when someone nears the end of our life, or even as we think about the end of our own lives, how would you like your life to end? Or when someone close to you, how would you like their lives to end? Peacefully? I know for me, I hope someday I just go to sleep and don't wake back up. At least not here. I hope I'll wake back up in heaven. Amen. That's what we consider peaceful, a peaceful passing. That's a nice thought. That's not what was in Christ's future, was it? And he knew that. And he was in the garden facing his own death. And that is why these scriptures that we read are so powerful. To see the Son of God facing his own death. And as he's praying, we have to understand, as Christ was here, and we need to keep this in mind, he was still fully God, wasn't he? Yeah. He was fully God. He was still the Son of God. He was the same one that had changed water into wine, that had made the blind see, the lame walk. He had the power over death. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He knew what was in people's hearts. He was fully God, wasn't he? The other part we need to understand and keep in mind is at the same time he was fully God, he was also fully, completely man. Fully and completely in that physical form that you and I are in today. Keep that in mind as we look at Christ's time here in the garden as he was praying. And he wasn't just fully man physically. I mean, he was in a physical body, right? He could have bumps and bruises and hurts, and he grew just like we do from a child on up. He could bleed just like we do. He was in a fully physical form. But when we think about him being fully man, that was also emotionally. Do we understand that? He experienced the same emotions that we experience. The same hurt, the same pain. He was also fully man emotionally. And you know what? We can understand that if you look at verse 44. He was in the garden praying, and he was talking to his Father, and he was facing his own death. And what does it say? And being in what? Agony. Being in agony. Was he being physically hurt at this point in time? No. He was in the garden all by himself at this point. He wasn't being physically hurt. Sometimes we think of being in agony, you think, oh, well, somebody's physically hurting you. What was the agony that he was in? Emotionally. If you know I like to look up words. You know that. Agony means suffering of intense physical or emotional pain. That's what the word agony means. He wasn't in physical pain at this moment in time. So what was he in? Emotional pain. That's the agony that he was in. The suffering of intense emotional pain. Look back in verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And listen to this last part of the verse. And as he did this, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What do you think about that? The latter part of that verse. It's interesting. It said he was sweating. You know, when you're in agony, your whole body physically inside, it changes, doesn't it? Your heart rate may go up. Just a whole lot of other things happen as well. And it says he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And you know what? I don't believe this is just a metaphor. Who wrote this book that we're reading? Well, inspired by God. But who penned it? Who did he inspire to write it? Look at the top of your Bible. It'll say there. Luke. Luke wrote it, right? Because we're in the book of Luke. All right, you're still with me. That's good. What was Luke? He was a physician. He was a doctor, right, Dr. Hogan? Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. And he said he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And, you know, I don't think that this was just a metaphor. And I may get corrected later in my pronunciation, but there is a physical condition that you can have, that you can actually sweat drops of blood. It's called, and I wrote it down, hematidrosis. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Hema, blood, but hematidrosis. Your capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture, causing them to exude blood. And you can actually sweat what looks like and has some blood in it. Do you know when that happens? It's rare, but do you know when that happens? Under conditions of extreme physical or emotional stress, which is what agony is, right? What we looked up. It happens when you're in agony, and that's exactly what Christ was. That emotional agony as he faced his own death, and he was in such an emotional state and in such agony that as he was sweating the capillary vessels, he was sweating drops of blood. That's how much agony he was in. And as he was praying, we can see what he prayed. Look in verse 42. Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. And what is the cup he's talking about? What's going to happen in his future? You know, you and I can't see our future. We may have an idea of what's going to happen. I mean, it's 11:35 right now at noon. Or at 12:30, you may have an idea what's going to be happening in your life. By 1 or 1:15 or 1:20, I think I'm going to be sitting at a table eating. I don't know what I'm going to be eating yet, but I hope I'm sitting at a table eating. I think that's my future. But is that guaranteed? No. It's not. I just think I know my future. Christ being fully God, guess what? He knew it beyond all shadow of a doubt exactly what was going to happen. And he knew what his death as he faced it would entail. He knew it would entail being beaten and mocked and spit on and the crown of thorns placed on his head. And in Isaiah it says he would be on almost the recognition of a man. He knew that's what was in his future. Is it more understandable then why he was in agony as he faced his own death? And is it understandable as he was in his physical form why he would say, Father, if it's possible, if there is any other way, that'd be good. Being fully man, that is, or should be to you and I, completely understandable. But the most powerful part of this verse is what Christ says after that. And I have tried to the best of my ability to make this my pattern in prayer. Because there are times that I am praying things that I want so badly to happen in my life or in the life of somebody that I care about. And I pray for them and I pray, Lord, that maybe it's that they would be healed or maybe that this situation would resolve itself. That is what I want and desire. Just like this is what Christ desired. If there's another way, that would be great. But Christ's words after that, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. There's the example Christ leaves for us. That in the midst of agony, in the midst of whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, whatever situations we go through in life, when we are crying out to God, and we can cry out our desires to God, Christ did, but to also make sure that we understand the most important thing isn't that we get what we want to happen. The most important thing is that God's will is done. And you hear me say this all the time. Why is that so important? Because guess what? God's will is better than ours. God's ways are higher than our ways, is what it says in the book of Isaiah. So Christ said, nevertheless, not my will, but let yours be done. And you know what God's will was? That Christ would go through all that that led to his death. That was his Father's will. But I also want you to look at what happened after this. Look in verse 43. And there appeared an angel to him from heaven. Who sent that angel? You think that angel was just walking along and, oh, Christ is over here having a difficult time. Maybe I better go strengthen him. Was it just coincidence? Who sent the angel? God. Why did he send the angel? That's what angels are, messengers of God. So they do God's bidding. They go when God sends them. Why did God send him? To strengthen his son. He saw the distress. He saw the emotional pain that his son was in. So he sent an angel and gave him strength. Are we the children of God? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are part of God's family. The Bible says we are brothers and sisters of Christ if we're his followers. That makes us the children of God. If we are in agony, if we are in distress, and we cry out to our Father, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to strengthen us. He may do it with an angel. He may send an angel to strengthen you, but there's a lot of ways God can strengthen us. He might send a friend at just that right time. He may make the phone ring at just that right time. He may lead you to a scripture just at that right time that provides you with strength. But folks, what we need to understand is God cares. He cared about the fact that his son was in distress and he strengthened him. No matter what we face, it can be the worst of circumstances. Would you call this about the worst of circumstances, knowing what your death was going to entail? Facing that? In the worst of circumstances, when we cry out to our Father, do you think he'll give us strength? The Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? In Psalms 28:7, do you know what David said? The Lord is my strength and my shield. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. Philippians chapter 4, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All through God's word, and those are just three that I picked at random. All through God's word are accounts and scriptures that tell us that God will give us strength. Folks, I pray that we never forget that. Life is not always easy, is it? It'd be great if it was, but it's not. Situations happen, circumstances happen. The majority of them, to be honest, are out of our control. We control a little bit. We can have an impact, but so many things happen that are out of our control. And they can be hard. But folks, remember, as long as we have a desire to serve our Father and to follow Christ's example of letting God know our desire, but above all saying, Lord, let your will be done. When we're following God, he will give us the strength that we need to endure. Was Christ able to endure? Yeah. Will we be able to endure? Will God put on us more than we can bear? That's because he'll give us the strength. I pray that as you think about Christ and the things he faced, and as we look at this and know that he was in agony facing his own death, but his Father strengthened him. Know no matter what you face, God can give you strength to overcome. Do you have the strength on your own? All right, I'm going to ask you again, and this time everybody say no, because that's the truth. Do you have the strength to overcome anything you may face in life on your own?
No.
Do you have the strength with God?
Yes.
Don't forget that. That is the key. With God, all things are possible. With Christ, he will strengthen us when we follow him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you once again for your word, and I thank you for the examples that we have, the example of your son, Jesus Christ, whose pattern, whose footsteps we're to follow. And as he was in the garden and in agony, asking if there was another way, he was willing to say, but not my will, but yours. And you strengthened him. Lord, I don't know what each one of us may face this week, let alone in the rest of our lives, but you do. And you know you will also provide us with the strength when we look to you and turn to you and call on you, that you will give us the strength that we need. And Lord God, we just thank you so very much for that. We thank you for the strength that Christ was given. We thank you that he was willing to go through with your plan. For us, Lord, it makes all the difference. It's the difference between death and eternal life. So we thank you for what Christ did for us and for the strength that you provided, not just him, but for each one of us. As we go through our lives, help us to always look to you, not try to do it on our own, but to rely and to lean on you. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, as we close the altars open, I don't know what you're facing in life, but if you just want to ask for God's strength, come and ask him. Come and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I would love to. If you just want to talk with the Father, that's okay too as we close. What a beautiful thought to end with. How wonderful his love is for you and for me. Don't forget about that as you go through life. He is ready to love you and to give you strength when you turn to him. Let's close with prayer. Lord God, thank you again for your presence in this place. Thank you for your word. I pray that it challenges us. I pray that it encourages us to know that you're always there, that you'll walk by our side when we turn to you. Thank you for the strength that you can provide. Watch over us as we leave here and help us to be your people. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, we have our communion service here in the sanctuary tonight at 7 o'clock. God bless you.